Good morning. Welcome you all to the worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. It's so great to have you all here to worship God together. You know, we at St. Matthew's, we have visioned, received, transformed, and sent. Yes, Lord, our God, call us, come as you are. So we are received as we are. And we believe God has power to transform us. And God has implanted wonderful gifts in each of us, and God will send us to the world to do God's work. So let us fully enjoy our vision, you know, which is God, what God is doing in us and through us. So let us acknowledge God and God's love and power together during these worship hours. God is good. All the time, all the time, God is good. Amen. Let us worship God together.
Gracious God, you are the peacemaker, the all-knowing, the beloved. Let us feel the love you have for each of us gathered here today so that we can breathe that love into the world. We long for peace, O God. Help us share your peace and goodness with all we meet. We long to live in a compassionate world. Let us look to you to find compassion within. We desire to be people who revere the world you created for us. Help us live our lives cherishing our planet and all living things. God, let those of us who feel unlovable, unworthy, undeserving, know your love so that they can feel nourished enough to share that love with others. Please pray for us as we continue to do your true and loving work. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord through this song, God. How can we forgive? How can we forgive? Let us praise the Lord together.
Thank you. Amen.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
We're having a pizza party today. Thank you for coming.
Pizza party. Pizza party. Just I'm going to have some pizza.
Okay, ding dong. I hate to hear people coming to the door. Who's here?
It's here is Black.
Okay.
Here is Lucy the firefighter.
Oh, and the Lucy the firefighter. And Ricky, our friend. Okay, it's time to start the party. It's a pizza making party, so we're going to make pizza together. Are you ready? Everybody's going to be helping. What do we put in first? The sauce?
Sauce.
The cheese. Oh, ding dong. I think some more people just showed up. Who's here?
Harry Potter.
Oh, my goodness.
Here.
And? Okay, they're here. Now they can help with the putting on the cheese. Put on our cheese. Oh, ding dong. I think I hear some more people.
Look, here comes Luke, Lulu,
Lily. And?
Where's the firefighter?
Okay, now we're putting on some vegetarian sausage and some
mushrooms.
And?
And
a little bit of onion.
Onion.
Ding dong. Oh, a few more people showed up. Who else showed up?
Polly the pilot.
Okay. Now it's time to eat the pizza. And now all of a sudden, somebody says, hey, wait a second. Those are our friends that just showed up there at the end. We helped make the pizza. Do they get the same amount of pizza as we do? What do you think?
I think they should get the same amount of pizza as the rest of us too, Lucy.
Oh, why is that? That doesn't seem fair. You know what it is, though? It is generous. Right?
You have to be generous.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Jesus tells a story a lot like this one. And it's called a story of the landowner, the generous landowner. So when Jesus was telling the story, he said life with God is like a landowner who has a field. And he was going out to the marketplace and he said to some people that he saw, hey, come and work in my vineyard for the day and I'll pay you a fair wage for that. And they said, and it was early in the morning. So the sun was over here. And then when the sun was up to here, he went to some more people and said, I need some more workers to work in my vineyard. Come and I'll pay you a fair wage. And then when the sun is up here, now over here, and it's the afternoon, the landowner said, hey, I need some more people needing work. I'll go to my vineyard and I'll pay you fairly. And then way down here at the end of the day, the landowner sees more people who need work. And he says, what does he say to them? Come work in my field. I'll pay you fairly. And then the day ends. And at the end of the day, he gives the people who came early in the morning, how much should he give them? More than the people who worked later in the day?
No.
Well, that would be the fair thing. But you know what the landowner does? One coin, or one pizza, for the people who came early. The ones who came later in the morning, the ones who came in the afternoon, and the ones who came at the end of the day, they all got the same amount. Okay. And the workers who were hired in the beginning said, that's not fair. We worked so much harder and longer than those people who came later. And then the landowner said, you agreed to work for one coin. Are you jealous? Because I am generous. So that's how God's family works. You know, we sit around and think about what's fair and not fair, and we think about how we're being mistreated. Have you ever said to yourself, that's not fair? Have you ever said that to mommy or daddy? Maybe sometimes?
I can't remember.
Yeah, well, it might have happened from time to time. Sometimes we say that's not fair when we don't get our way. And that's the problem with thinking about fairness all the time, is we tend to think about it like, I didn't get my way, that's not fair. But in God's kingdom, we say, in God's family, we say, we don't think so as much about fairness for ourselves as we think about generosity for all. So that's something to remember, is in God's kingdom, there is an abundance and there is enough to share for everybody. And if we care about others, then that's what we care about, is being generous so that all of us can share in the fruits of the kingdom, can share in the love of God,
okay,
and share in and have enough to live and to be happy. In God's kingdom, there is always enough for all. So let's work on, as a family, how to be generous for others and not be so concerned about what's fair or not fair for ourselves. But how can we live so that we are always being generous? Because that's how God's family works. Well, so what can we do to be more generous? Can we share food with other people? Can we share from our resources? Can we also help to make the world more safe for everybody, no matter what they look like or where they come from? So these are all things that we can do to be generous. And that's one of the ways that God talks about this, Jesus talks about this, is that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That might sound not fair to some people, but when we think about what it really means, is that we are called to be generous, and that those who are first in life are called to share with those who may not always get the first, who may not always be first. So can we pray and then we can have our pizza party together? So let's pray. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Help us to be more generous.
Help us to be more generous.
And to share from our abundance.
To share from our abundance.
Help us to always see others.
Help us to always see others.
Even when they are in need. Or when they may seem far away.
When they seem far away.
May we learn generosity.
May we learn generosity.
And love.
And love.
Each and every day.
Each and every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Go and share your abundance with others.
And share.
Pizza's gone.
Make me a child.
John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. Early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stood down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Amen.
Amen. What does WWJ stand for? Yes, what would you just do? You know, WWJD is one of the most well-known expressions among Christian communities. One day, one of the children told me this: "I would like to do what Jesus would do, but I don't know much about what he did." Would you like to do what Jesus would do? Then the question is, then do you know what he did? In order to do what Jesus would do, we first need to know what Jesus did. Today we are going to learn one of the many that Jesus did through the story of a woman caught in adultery in John 8. In the story of today's scripture reading, whom do you most identify yourself with? We find four groups or individuals of the people in this story. First, the woman caught in adultery. She committed adultery, and she got caught in the act of adultery. So, she is desperately hopeless. This is the end of the world. Why? Because she is to be put to death according to the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 22:22. If a man is discovered committing adultery, both he and woman must die. And there is no room left to plead not guilty, as she was caught in the act of adultery. She is hopeless, and she is ashamed. The accusers put her in front of the crowd. Now what she did has been publicly announced. Do you identify yourself with this woman? Because of what you have done, you feel hopeless and ashamed? You are even afraid to go to public places like a supermarket or a post office because you feel as if everyone in there is talking about you or about what you have done. And you feel this is the end of the world. Is this you? And second, we find the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees. Do you identify yourself with these teachers of religious law and the Pharisees? They brought the adulterous woman to Jesus and condemned and shamed her publicly in order to, quote-unquote, trap Jesus into saying something they can use against him. Verse 4. Who are they? They're the experts of the religious law and teachings. They do not only have knowledge on them, but also radically practice them. For this reason, if not all, most of them are self-righteous. They thought they're self-righteous. Because of their self-righteousness, they accused even Jesus. For example, they accused Jesus when he healed the sick on the Sabbath. I am the one who knows God and God's will. I am the one who has to be right. If you don't believe God in the way I believe, if you don't practice the religion in the way I do, you are wrong. And I have the right to accuse you. That attitude. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are self-righteous, and they are cowards and timid. Huh? Look carefully. Those who are cowards usually gang up to confront somebody. Right? Those who are timid gossip instead of directly addressing issues to the one who needs to know them. In case they directly address matters, they gang up rather than doing it one-on-one. Do you identify yourself with these teachers of religious law and the Pharisees? Do you believe you are the one who loves and respects Jesus and his teachings most? Do you say, Jesus loves all, but I'm his favorite? You believe you are most knowledgeable on the Bible and Christianity, and you have to be right all the time? Anyone who doesn't agree to your thoughts and opinions is wrong rather than different, so you believe you have the right to accuse them in the name of God, like those scribes and the Pharisees. And when you accuse others, you gang up. You choose gossiping over conversation. Is this you? Third, how about the crowd? They're just watching throughout the story. None of them questions about the practice of the law. Again, the law of Moses says in Deuteronomy 22:22, if a man is discovered committing adultery, listen carefully, both he and the woman must die. But in this case, nobody asks, where is the man? No one says, it takes two. They are the ones who gathered early in the morning to listen to Jesus and learn from him. They have that passion, the enthusiasm. But none of them follows up with Jesus after this big event. Do you identify yourself with this crowd? You have passion to learn Jesus' teachings, which is great. But that is pretty much it. No involvement, no commitment, no further action taken. Do you believe it is good enough to be a background? You don't think you can be one of the major figures of these faith stories in the Bible? Is this you? And finally, Jesus. In the story, we find women, the teachers of the religious laws, and the Pharisees, the crowd, and we find Jesus here. After reading this Bible passage, the first question you got might be, why was Jesus riding on the ground? Are you with me on that? You know, verse 6, wrote in the dust with his finger. And verse 8, wrote in the dust. Then what did Jesus write on the ground? Maybe it takes two? Or you again? But as a matter of fact, the answer is, nobody knows. Nobody knows. While no one knows what Jesus actually wrote on the ground, I'd like to invite you to pay attention to the movement of Jesus' posture. The movement of Jesus' posture. Verse 6, Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Jesus stooped down. Can you see me? Okay. Jesus stooped down. He refused to stand with those accusers by lowering himself. Jesus lowered himself. He did not place himself in a judging position. Instead, he took the place of compassion. The bottom. When he faces the woman caught in adultery, he approaches from compassion, not judgment. Do you see what I see here? How about the teachers of the law and the Pharisees? Did they bring this woman to Jesus because they had the strong sense of accountability for this woman? Because they wanted Jesus to fix her problem as they felt great pain for her slavery to sin? No. Their purpose to bring this woman to Jesus was not even about her. It was to trap Jesus in order to have a basis for accusing him. Verse 6, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. As mentioned earlier, they even manipulated the scripture for their own agenda. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? But law prescribes the death penalty for both man and the woman involved. Their motivation to point out her sin was not from their wholeheartedly concern for her. It was not to help her to be free from the destructive lifestyle. It was not even about her. They asked, the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say then? Jesus stooped down. Then verse 7, they kept demanding an answer. And then Jesus stood up, confronting them. When she was put on the spot, he lowered himself. He stooped down. And then when these little teachers of law and the Pharisees demanded the law, kept demanding the answer, he stood up to confront them. And he says, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. We want to pay attention to this one. Let the one. In other words, don't gang up to attack a person. How about you? How about you? How about you? How about you? You individual, gazing inward, where you may discern from your own personal history whether you are truly in a position to condemn. Jesus seems not to regard her sin greater than other sins in the sight of God. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away. How? One by one. Beginning with the oldest. Jesus made each of them to self-examine himself, and each of the group who ganged up now goes away one at a time. Now Jesus asks this woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? She answers, no, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Go and be free. Go and live the healthy life. Go. At the story's beginning, she was a condemned woman, surrounded and threatened by violence. But at its end, she finds herself a free woman, free to go and live the new life. She is not to be imprisoned by her past, because Jesus Christ, the Savior, has provided a new clean slate. Now you have learned what Jesus did when the people ganged up to accuse others. What would you do when the people or social systems gang up to accuse others, especially the unprivileged and the marginalized? Would you stand up with a group of people gang up to accuse others? Or would you stoop down with Jesus Christ to lower yourself with the compassion and the love for them? What would Jesus do? Now you know the answer. And the next question is, what will you do with today's good news this week? What will you do? God bless you all. Amen. Let us sing this hymn together. How shall I come before the Lord? How shall I come before the Lord? Let us sing together. Amen. Amen. It's time to count all the blessings God has given to us. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love. God wants our love. More than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts. God cares about hearts, not the amounts of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with grateful hearts. Amen. As we, St. Matthew's, will continue to do the vision, received, transformed, and sent. And please be part of this ministry. You know, as you have prepared your offerings, please put the offering in the Bible and pray for all those people God will reach out with God's greatest compassion and love in and through these ministries we do here. So you may send the offerings to the church by mail, 435 Central Street, Acton, Massachusetts. Or you may visit our church website, and there are several different ways you can send your offerings to church so that we can continue to do God's work, God's ministries. It's a received, transformed, and sent ministry in various ways. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give your heart. We give our love to you, Lord. We acknowledge that you are the provider. Please help us not to take your gifts and your grace for granted, Lord. And as we gather together and then as we do this together, Lord, we expect you will do something beautiful, something bigger than we can do, what we can do on our own. We decide to put you at the center of our life, our individual life, and also our communal life, Lord. Be glorified. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It's time for prayer. Yeah, I am waiting for the prayer request from the chat here, so I have not received it yet. So while I'm waiting then, let me light the candles, you know, first today. You know, as you join me in praying, a person or people come into your mind and heart. So let us pray for them as we light these candles. If you are the one who needs a prayer too, then please pray for yourself as well. For some reason, you know, I don't receive the prayer request, you know, from the chat with this text. So if you, as you are on YouTube, you can just press the button in a live chat, and you will see all the prayer requests there. And let's take time here. Let's take a moment of silence and pray for those with prayer requests. Let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I believe, we'll receive the prayer list, by Tuesday. I'm sorry that we couldn't share the prayer request this morning, but we'll receive the prayer request. And let me ask a question. What do you do with those lists once you receive that email? Then what do you do with them? And I'd like to invite you to print it out, and then may you put it under your bedside, or you may carry them in your pocket. So let us actually pray, not just share our prayer request, but let us pray for one another. Amen. 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 Let us exchange the sign of peace together. The peace of Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you. I have several announcements to share with you. First of all, thank you very much, all the worship leaders again. Thank you so much. It's beautiful. And thank you very much all, to join us to worship God together. I believe God is very pleased with our worship. If it's your first time to worship us this morning, please find my email address, pastor@st-matthews.org. pastor@st-matthews.org. Please send me email so we can get connected. Newcomers, visitors, or church members, whoever needs my and wants my pastor visit, in person, keeping the safe distance and wearing mask, or my pastor visit on Zoom or over the phone, please just let me know. Please let me know. And our sit and chat, group meetings with me, with the pastor, keep on going. Please take a look at weekly news. And the hosting person must have sent you the invitation. If you have a question, please let Betsy know about this. And also, you must have found the re-entry task force survey on our weekly news. And also, you can participate in the survey on our church website as well. So we are looking for your answers to those questions in survey. please participate in the survey. It's very important. As a reentry task force, we prepare for the day we may get together, you know, worship together in person. It's very important information. Please participate in the survey and get back to us. Get back to us with your answers. And please check our church website for the information about small groups like a Bible study, Sunday schools for children and adults, and anti-racism classes. And we have a lot of programs going on here, even in the middle of this pandemic. So please check our church website and find them out. And you are all welcome. Please join us. And after this service, we have a virtual coffee hour. You can find the link either in the weekly news or church website. Please join us. You know, the password is one word, the coffee hour. The one word, coffee hour. Please join us. My siblings in Christ, what would Jesus do? Now it's time to learn what Jesus did and do it. Today we learned one lesson. And now the opportunities are before you. Now go, and with assurance, God will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empower you to live it out. What would Jesus do? God loves you. So do I. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen. Let us bless each other through this song together.